Okay, today's Bible reading is from Colossians chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verse 24 to 29. Colossians 1, verse 24 to 29. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave to me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me.
Firstly, I'd like to thank everyone for your prayers and support while we're in Asia for 10 years and the last 5 years in Australia. It's been a real privilege being in Asia and now supporting missionaries and caring for them. And I know, I couldn't be there doing that without your prayers and support. I've got a picture here from a movie series that you might have seen or heard about called Mission Impossible. And it's a movie about a spy played by Tom Cruise. And I'm sure you may have watched it or heard about this movie. A guy who can do impossible missions. And in this picture, it's from the first movie. He had to climb up through the ducts and then come down on a rope. And in this room, there's lots of sensors. There's movement sensors, there's laser sensors, there's motion, there's temperature sensors. All the sensors are there. And this guy gave the guy that was in the room some medication to make him go out to go to the toilet. And while he was out going to the toilet, he had to come down, put a little thingy into the machine, in the computer, and download very important information. It's an impossible mission. No one could ever do this, but he does it. He makes an impossible mission possible. Going overseas sometimes to share the gospel sometimes seems like an impossibility, doesn't it? You know, leave your job, pack up your home, take your kids out of school, move to another country, learn a new language, learn a new culture, try and share the gospel and work with a local church. It seems impossible, but it is possible. We went for 10 years. Denise shared about them going for 25 years. I know for people who've gone for more. I know people who want to retire in the area that they're serving in. And so in today's passage, as we look at Colossians, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young church and explaining his ministry. And we're going to look at three ministry principles that can encourage us in our own thinking about mission, that mission is possible. So the first one is mission is about being a servant. The second point is mission is to make known the glorious riches of Christ. And the thirdly, the mission is to present everyone perfect in Christ. Let's take a moment. Are you prepared to become an overseas missionary? Are you? Maybe to go to Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Indonesia, Thailand, China, Japan. And if you're not prepared to go, are you prepared to commit to mission, praying for mission, money, time and resources? We really need God's help, don't we, to think, to have a heart for mission. And so let's pray and ask God to give us a heart for mission. So will you join with me in praying for that? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please give each of us here today a heart to serve the people of the nations. Please help us to work out how to be involved in the gospel going out to the people around us and to the other countries. And please give each of us a vision for everyone to hear the gospel and to be presented perfect in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first point is the attitude. Mission is being a servant. So look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. And I'm going to ask you to stand up because I feel like I need you to have a little bit of a break. So stand up and read out with me this passage. Hopefully you can see it. So read out this passage with me together. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Okay, please sit down. I never do that, but I thought I'd give you just a little stretch while we were at it. So see what Paul describes himself in verse 25. He says, I have become its servant. The word servant comes from the Greek word diakonos, and ESV would translate it as minister, and in other places, deacon. And the word generally means a table servant, a waiter, like at a restaurant. And so Paul is saying, I'm a servant. I'm putting the needs of the other people before myself and preaching the gospel to them. And that's why in verse 24, he says he's suffering for them. In that same verse, he refers to Christ suffering for them. And so he also is suffering for them. Paul's willing to serve and he's willing to suffer for them in order that the gospel might be preached and proclaimed to them. Being a servant and suffering is not easy. And you've already seen the picture of when my first job, that's not the real place where I worked, but my first job out of high school was I was a waiter in a restaurant, Chinese restaurant. And it was Chinese New Year, and so it's the busiest time of year for a Chinese restaurant. And so I was on holidays, and so I was willing to help. And what I remember about being a waiter in a Chinese restaurant was the free meal before. The free meal, yummy fried rice, freshly cooked with good wok hay. Is there another? Wok hay means really hot wok. And so it comes out nice and fresh and hot. And one of my favorite dishes, even back then, was sweet and sour pork. I love sweet and sour pork. I know it's really Aussie, but I love it. You know, freshly deep fried, crunchy, sweet and sour, yum. But when they turned the sign of the restaurant to open, my job was very clear. My job was to serve the customers. I welcomed them at the door. I showed them to the seat. I took their orders. I served them dishes. If they want tea, I'll grab the tea and I'll pour it out for them. If they want chili, I'll grab it. The whole night is serving their needs, putting their needs above my own. That's what serving is, isn't it? And so Paul here is saying, I'm a servant. I'm focused on putting the needs of other people before myself in order that they may hear the gospel. And he's even willing to suffer for them. You see, there are many servants in this church. To make this church run, there's a lot of people involved. There's preaching, there's leadership, there's Sunday school teachers, there's audio, there's the people, someone set up the chairs and someone will pack up and clean up afterwards. You're preparing during the week, you're spending time with each other, encouraging each other. It's like a big machine, isn't it? Requiring lots of people to keep this going. This church needs servants to grow. Overseas mission also needs servants to grow. They need people to pack their bags and to leave, to preach, to church plant, to outreach, to provide leadership. They need finance people. I know two roles, one in Japan and Cambodia, that need finance background people that can help missionary people who are not finance people to manage the finances and running of mission on the field. They need doctors. I love doctors. And I only love them since going overseas because there's a lot of countries where they don't have the same international hospital standards as we do in Australia. We need admin people, IT people, yes, praying and giving. Overseas mission needs lots of servant-hearted people to make mission grow. Would you pray that God will give you a heart to serve and to be willing to suffer? Would you pray that? This is the first point. Mission is the attitude of being a servant. And the second point, mission is to make known the glorious riches of Christ. So Paul's become a servant, but what is his task and his job? It's to reveal a mystery. Look at verse 26 and 27 again. He says about mystery, verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generation, but is now disclosed to the saints. And then verse 27, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we say mystery, we usually think hidden, unknowable, right? So imagine saying, this person, he's a mystery. It means, ooh, I don't know really what he's like, who he is. He's a mystery. Or you might say, oh, that kid, he got into that great school. Oh, it's a mystery how he got there, unknown. Or maybe someone, why did she go out with that guy? It's a mystery, unknowable, unknown. But mystery in the Bible is different. Mystery in the Bible is something that was unknown, but is now revealed by God. You see, before they didn't know Jesus, but after God, Paul preached the gospel to them, they know Jesus, they know the mystery. It's no longer unknowable. It's knowable. You can know Jesus. The mystery of Jesus is knowable. Before they didn't know, and now they know. And that's why in these verses, verse 25, he says, present to you the word of God. Verse 26, disclose to the Lord's people. Verse 27, make known among the Gentiles. Verse 28, to proclaim, admonish, teach. All these words describing Paul's task as a servant. To make known the mystery that you can know Jesus. Before they didn't know, but now they know him. I wonder if I ask you today, do you know me? Do you know me? And I wonder if I ask you, do you know Mike's favorite hobby that gives him joy? Do you know? Anyone? Really? Of course. Of course you don't know my favorite hobby that gives me joy, because I haven't told you. So I'm going to tell you now, my hobby that gives me joy, it's running. I really like running. I run 3 to 4 times a week in the morning. And so if you're in Chatswood at 6 a.m. and you see a bold Asian guy running the streets, Mike, there's a good chance it's me, okay? And most weekends on Saturday is my long run. I run from Chatswood to the city. And I run past, it's only 7Ks. It's only 7Ks. I catch a train back as well. Yes, but I love it. I run past this church over the bridge. I run the Opera House, the Botanical Gardens, the rocks. It's a joy. I love it. But you know it's a joy for me because I just told you, isn't it? And so Paul brings him great joy to serve, to suffer, so that people will know Jesus. I like how Paul describes the message he brings in verse 27. Look at verse 27. The glorious riches of this mystery. The riches, he says. When we think of riches, we think of material wealth, don't we? Money, good job, big house, physical health, overseas holiday, new car, new Tesla, a new phone, the latest phone. But Paul's view of rich is different. It's spiritual richness. Hearing about Jesus, knowing God, eternal life, and helping others know about Jesus. A few years ago, Anant and Bami got married. He's the son of the richest man in India. They had an 800-guest pre-wedding cruise around the Mediterranean that cost about $150 million US dollars. The wedding itself is estimated to have cost $600 million. The wedding invitation itself, apparently cost $7,000. That's an expensive invitation card, isn't it? This family is filthy rich. But if they accidentally died tomorrow, it's all gone. Their richness is, material richness is gone. Puff, no more. They can't take $1. They can't take one investment property after they die. It's gone. God's economy is so different to our economy. When we think of rich, we think physical wealth, property. I'm rich, I have an investment property. Whereas poor says, nah, rich is spiritual. Knowing God, having a relationship with Him, helping others to have a relationship through Jesus. That is true rich. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is my view of rich? Do I think rich is material gain? Or do I think rich is spiritual gain and spiritual gain for others? Most Asian people, our goal, because I'm Asian too, is study hard in the HSC and get a good mark. Study hard at university to get a good job. Work hard, make lots of money. Why? To buy a house. And then work harder to buy the bigger house. And then start planning for grandchildren and retirement. For an Asian, we value material wealth. It's in our blood and genes. And to not pursue these things is like cutting off my arms and legs, isn't it? That's what I felt like when I decided to leave my architectural jobs. I felt like I was cutting off my arms and legs and jumping off a bridge. Asian culture is very deep. Be careful of that Asian culture. You see, these things aren't wrong. We need to work. We need to provide for a family. We don't want to be a burden on others. But if these things are an idol, if they're our God, we need to be careful, don't we? Asian culture lifts up these things. And so we're in danger of minimalizing what is really rich. We need to think about what is our life really balanced and probably overbalanced, especially if we're Asian. Today's passage reminds us, knowing God, sharing the gospel mission, that is spiritually rich. And so it's worth our time, our energy to get involved in the gospel going to our neighbors and the world. And so to apply the second point of making known the riches of Christ, I'd like to encourage you to read a book. That might be hard. I don't know about you, but it's very easy to read doom scrolling reading. But to read a book. And so I brought some books to sell at a bookstore. It's not out, but now that it's not raining, it'll be good to bring it out. And I've got biographies like Hudson Taylor, J.O. Fraser, of men who have gone out to preach the gospel. And I think that's a great way to encourage yourselves, but also encourage someone else to buy a book like that. I brought these prayer guides, these really thin, simple prayer guides. They're only $5, price of a coffee. But I love them because they share about a country, Cambodia. There's other countries as well. And it helps you to understand the spiritual needs of a country. Just takes not even five minutes to read, pray. You can do it over breakfast, on the train. Very simple. And I've even got one called A Taste for Asia. It's for families. You know, devotion with your family over the dinner table before they sleep. Read about the spiritual needs of Thailand, of China, and Japan, and pray for that country. Pray about the need. And I hope that through praying and reading the gospel, may God challenge us in our own heart about the riches of the gospel going out to the nations. And so that's the second point. Mission is to make known the glorious riches of Christ. And the third point is the goal. Mission is to present everyone perfect in Christ. Look at verse 28 to 29. We proclaim, admonishing, teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me. See Paul's goal in verse 28. Present everyone perfect in Christ. It's a famous verse, isn't it? The word present everyone perfect. In other places, it translates as mature in the ESV. It has this idea, no longer a baby, a full-grown, mature adult. And it has this idea of people becoming Christian, and it has the idea of Christians growing towards maturity as well. Paul's goal is for people to become Christian and Christians growing through the preaching of the gospel. And notice how he emphasizes the word everyone to be perfect. The word everyone's actually repeated three times as an emphasis, warning everyone, teaching everyone, present everyone. Not one person, not a Bible study, one Bible study group, not a Sunday school class, not just one church you attend, but everyone. He has a huge vision. That's a big vision, isn't it? To present everyone perfect in Christ is a huge vision. In 1865, there's a picture of Hudson Taylor, if you skip over a few. A missionary to China called Hudson Taylor, he was walking on a beach, and he had a burden, a heart for the China inland people. Because inland China, 150 years ago, many of them had never heard of Jesus and would never meet a Christian in their life. It was unreached back then. And he prayed, he had this burden, he was praying that the unreached in China would hear the gospel. Within a year, he set out in a boat with 16 new missionaries. And he started an organization called China Inland Mission, which would become OMF. And over the next few years, he systematically placed missionaries in remote, back then there's no high-speed railway, you know, remote rural China in provinces in China, putting missionaries in there for the unreached with the gospel. You see, Hudson Taylor, he had a big vision, didn't he? He had a big goal for the unreached in inland China to be presented perfect in Christ. It must have looked impossible then too, just as like it feels impossible for us. But 150 years later, there is a church in inland China. There is a growing church, and they're starting last 10, 15 years, they are becoming a mission-minded church of sending missionaries out from China. Mission is possible. 150 years and such a big turnaround. Do you and I have a great vision for the gospel? For your school? For the school your kids go to? Do you have this vision of presenting people perfect? Your uni, your workplace, for Milson's Point, for Macquarie Uni, for Asia, for the world. We need a bigger vision, don't we? For the gospel going out. So in the introduction I mentioned gospel mission seems impossible, but in this passage we see three points that can encourage us that to think about mission is possible. Firstly, an attitude of servanthood. Secondly, the task of making known the glorious riches of Christ. And thirdly, the goal of presenting everyone perfect in Christ. Will you join me in closing in prayer? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray and ask you that you will give each of us a heart for mission. We pray that you will help us to be servants, servants who are ready to put the needs of others before ourselves and the readiness to even suffer for the sake of others. Help us to know the glorious riches we have in Christ, to know that we're spiritually rich, and to share this rich message of the gospel with others. And help us to have a bigger vision and goal for everyone to be presented perfect in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.